GM Summer Drive is back. Right now, get up to $5,000 cash back on 2004 GM cars and trucks. Take delivery by August 31st. See your dealer at GM.com for details.
And now, here's Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Margaret Gray is at the Democratic National Convention. She is on Broadford, I guess, is right outside the Fleet Center. Correct, Margaret?
That is correct, Phil. I'm standing just opposite the atrium entrance to the Fleet Center, and I can tell you this is going to be a wonderful convention. It will be a re-energizing, I think, of the political mood in this country. There are literally hundreds of people who are drawn here to the doors of the Fleet Center just simply to stand and be a witness to history, a history that I think will see America taking its country back for, the American people taking their country back for the very first time.
What, and are you credentialed? Obviously you are. And I want to...
Well, yes, I am, Phil, and of course I'm credentialed. I do have a press pass. But really, I'm out here just taking the temperature, I think, of people here.
And what does this convention represent to you, other than the Democratic Party hoping to cleanse the White House in 2004?
Well, Phil, I think it's significant that we're here in Massachusetts, the home state of a very significant family, the Kennedy family. It is a time of cleansing. It is a time of starting again. You know, when we talk about the Kennedys, we talk about Ted Kennedy. He has been hounded about Chappaquiddick, hounded about his checkered past, hounded about the events of 1969 and Mary Jo Kopechne. It's old news what happened to that woman, the Kopechne woman. One of the things that hasn't been pointed out, and I think needs to be pointed out, it was tragic what happened to that young lady, but she died in a car being driven by a United States senator. Few deaths can be happy ones. But in Mary Jo Kopechne's case, there was a historic and an illustrious aspect to her death. And there are questions, of course, as to whether or not it was Teddy driving the car or Bobby. And
well, I don't know what you're referring to. She drowned at the bottom of the water there off of that bridge. And
well, the point I'm trying to make is that Mary Jo Kopechne's name now has a historic and a romantic significance. Instead of her being, you know, just another, I don't want to say this, but just another drowned slut at the bottom of a ditch, and I'm very sorry, but...
Well, that's not necessary to call her that. We're talking about a lady...
Phil, one thing about me, I don't pull any punches, and it's why people read my columns.
But you're saying that all of these things are not important, and I understand the Chappaquiddick thing is old.
Well, let's bring something that is a little bit more contemporary. Let's talk about Bill Clinton's presidency, the fact that he created 23 million jobs, the fact that we had unprecedented economic expansion, and yet they still want to talk about Monica Lewinsky. This week, none of those conversations are going to be allowed. This week, we are going to bury all of this insignificance, all of this minutiae and trivia in the past, and we are going to see a rebirth of the Democratic Party. And I just think that for all of us to be here in Boston together, when you talk about...
Well, Americans are still going to remember Monica Lewinsky. I don't disagree about the achievement of the Clinton administration.
Well, whether they agree or disagree, I personally am sick of hearing about whether Monica Lewinsky this, Mary Jo Kopechne that, this Marilyn Monroe and John Kennedy, all of these things are now buried. And really, the strength of the Democratic Party, there won't be any more discussions of these things. It's done. The Democratic Party will know its rightful place in history.
All right, but again, the Clinton presidency,
it is slanderous, is what I'm saying. And I, at least in the case of my newspaper, I talk to the managing editors. I won't stand for reading anything more in the paper that I'm published in about Monica Lewinsky. You heard about Jack Talbot, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Jack Talbot was getting ready to file a convention piece, and he was digging up the Lewinsky stuff again, and I went over to his desk while he was downstairs, and I hit delete.
You're kidding.
No, and Bill Gunther backed me up, my editor. I told him, and I told Jack, no more about Lewinsky, and I'm going to tell you something. I love Terry Heinz, and I got on the phone with her, and I said, you go, girl. And
now, she told some reporter to shove it?
Yes, she did, and I said, you go, girl. And the other thing that's been a slander is the martyred President John Kennedy and this absolute poppycock about him and Marilyn Monroe. No. No, Phil, none of it is going to be abided any longer. The Democratic Party is back, bigger and stronger than ever.
All right, Margaret Gray on the line from Boston. She's out in front of the Fleet Center where the Democratic National Convention is taking place. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I totally get that you are a Democrat and very, very pro the current Democratic ticket, as opposed to myself.
Well, you call yourself a Democrat, Phil, and that's fine.
Yes, I am a Democrat. I'm not going to have that argument.
And that's fine. But to be a Democrat is to understand that John Kerry is the nominee, and John F. Kerry is going to be, in my opinion, a great president.
How do you feel about that?
About John F. Kerry?
Yeah, isn't that an obvious attempt to make him John F. Kennedy?
I think if the shoe fits, you wear it. And I really think...
You think these two guys are comparable?
Without question. I think John F. Kerry, and that is something else that I'm going to be referring to him as in my column. And you know something? It sounds probably a little dictatorial, but I'm going to insist that his name be referred to in that way, because I really believe he's the greatest hope of this party that we've had in a long, long time. But, again, Teddy Kennedy, Phil, to put it in a way that I think a lot of people might put it, Teddy Kennedy has suffered enough under this Mary Jo Kopechne claptrap. Bill Clinton has suffered long enough under the Monica Lewinsky claptrap, and John Kennedy has suffered enough under the Marilyn Monroe claptrap. And so I would say that anybody that wants to throw down, as the kids say with me, on the quality of the men and women we have in this party, I'd be happy to. But I'm not going to abide it any longer.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting way of putting it, and I realize that a lot of these things have been beaten into the ground, Monica Lewinsky, and of course, none of them have anything to do with John Kerry. However, there is one thing about Kerry, and that is, of course, the idea, was he pro-Vietnam? Was he anti-Vietnam? Is John Kerry pro the Iraq War? Is he anti the Iraq War?
I think he's been heard from very clearly, and he was very clearly very proud of his service in Vietnam, and he is very pro-Vietnam. And
what about the fact that he threw ribbons or medals?
I don't know anything about that, and I don't think that's been proven yet. Just the same way, really, if you get down to it, Bill Clinton's relationship, but here is really the thing that I think needs to be said more than anything else. It's the jury is really out on whether Bill Clinton had sex with Monica Lewinsky or not. Now,
Come on. I mean, the guy said, didn't he admit?
No, he did not.
Well, didn't they have some DNA on the dress?
Yes, they did, but that does not necessarily mean they had sex. It could have been something that was completely innocent, and in my opinion, it most probably was, given the political climate of the times. The other thing that I think needs to be said, was Ted Kennedy really driving that car, or was it Bobby Kennedy?
And wasn't Bobby Kennedy dead by then?
I don't know.
Well, Bobby Kennedy died in June of 1968, and the Mary Jo Kopechne incident...
Yes, that was in July of 1969, but the jury is out on who was driving that car. The other thing that needs to be said, John Kennedy cheating on his wife, he was a devout Catholic. And the idea, where do you get this information that he was with Marilyn Monroe? You see, we don't know. And that's why this Democratic National Convention is finally putting to rest all of the bugaboos, all of the ghosts, all of the rumors, all of the innuendo, all of the myths, all of the ghost stories, all of the old wives' tales, all of the...
Yeah, I understand. It's putting to rest all of the things that you guys would rather not be in the record.
We'd rather not be in the record, Phil, because it isn't true.
All right, Margaret Gray at the Democratic National Convention, 1-800-449-8686. Let me put her on hold, because she's obviously standing on a very busy street right out in front of the Fleet Center. And among her comments... no more mentions of Monica Lewinsky, no more mentions of Chappaquiddick, no more of the old, I guess what you'd say, the old scandals that sort of plagued the Democratic Party. They're not going to allow it to be talked about. She questions whether they actually happened the way people say they happened. Bill Clinton didn't really have sex with Monica Lewinsky. Marilyn Monroe really didn't have sex with John Kennedy, and maybe it wasn't Teddy Kennedy driving that car that night in Chappaquiddick. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray is live at the Democratic National Convention in Boston, and we'll be back with more of her comments on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You flip a bone in a Korean War veteran, and you pull back a bloody stump.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Back with Margaret Gray in Boston at the Democratic National Convention. You're claiming the Republicans concocted the Chappaquiddick thing with Teddy Kennedy, the Monica Lewinsky thing with President Clinton, the Marilyn Monroe thing with President Kennedy as a way of politically, obviously politically dominating the landscape. How could one political party manipulate a president into having sex with a woman?
Well, you're talking about Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
First of all, Phil, the jury is out as to whether he had sex with her or not. Secondly, and very importantly, understand this. We are going to expunge everything that the Republicans tried to do in the past 10, 15, 20, 30 years this week in Boston. And by expunge, I mean we will wipe the slate clean. Their lies cannot affect us any longer. We have decided to take back our party, and the Republicans creating this idea that Teddy Kennedy killed a girl in 1969. I don't know whether he did or not. And
was he driving the car?
Look, the Democratic Party doesn't play these little nasty sex story games. Remember that it is John Kennedy who was martyred. He was a Democrat. Bobby Kennedy, who was martyred. He was a Democrat. John Kennedy Jr. was martyred. He was a Democrat.
Well, John Kennedy Jr. crashed his plane.
Nonetheless, he was martyred. And
well, how are you martyred when you crash your plane?
He is a Kennedy and he is a Democrat. Martin Luther King, martyred. You don't see Republicans being attacked this way. And the reason is, I think, very simply this, Phil. They don't pose such a threat, such a risk to the destructive forces of this country that are trying to bring down the good people. Now, I think with the
let's get back to what you were saying, please, if I could, about Mary Jo Kopechne and how the Republicans invented this.
Look, I know a lot of people in your audience don't know who Mary Jo Kopechne was, but
no, they don't. It was 1969. Teddy Kennedy's driving back with a girl from a party, and he flips the car, and she drowns.
That's what they said happened. I don't think that that happened. I think someone else was driving the car. I think the story got around that Teddy Kennedy did it. Because everyone was upset with the Kennedys, given the fact that there was this cult of idol worship really around John Kennedy. That's number one. And I know I'm talking to a lot of young people who don't understand these stories. Believe me when I tell you, the Democrats have been made the victims of a vicious slander campaign. Look at Michael Kennedy, hit the tree while skiing. Here was another young man martyred. And
the guy hit a tree while he was skiing, another guy crashed his plane, and you're saying these guys were martyred.
Well, I don't see any Republicans dying that way.
What about Sonny Bono?
Who?
Sonny Bono hit a freaking tree.
The congressman?
The congressman, yeah.
It's not really the same thing. When a Republican, and I certainly value their service to our country, but when a Republican dies that way, people don't feel as bad, I guess, is what I want to say. You know, it's
What are you talking about? You know, President Reagan just had a motorcade, the likes of which I've never seen before. All right, I mean, people were lined up to see that.
Well, he didn't hit a tree or anything. He didn't.
No, he didn't hit a tree. Well, look at here is
Phil. The point that I'm trying to make is, and by the way, Hillary Clinton is speaking now. And here is another woman that puts the fear of Jesus into those Republicans. They know she's formidable. They know that there is something very masculine about her, something that is very tangibly aggressive about her. No one is going to be able to lie about Hillary Clinton. And I'll tell you something else, Bill. She has come back like gangbusters from the days when she was castigated as you know, Mr. Mr. Clinton and Mr. Rodham or the Pence, you know, in the Clinton family, this kind of thing. She has really come a long way.
Margaret Gray at the Democratic Convention, our number 1-800-449-8686. Are you telling me that Bill Clinton did not have sex with Monica Lewinsky?
First of all, I'm saying, Phil, that the Republican Party has...
Well, did the Republican Party invent all of that?
Look, not one Republican has ever been martyred. They all just drift into death. What does that say to you about the strength of this Democratic Party?
I'm not talking about guys that have been martyred now. I'm talking about this guy Clinton. You're saying he did not have sex with Monica Lewinsky?
I'm saying stop bringing it up. That's what I'm saying.
What about Chappaquiddick?
I'm saying stop bringing it up. It's over. All of those old stories are over. Chappaquiddick is over. Monica Lewinsky is over. And this tired refrain about Al Gore inventing the Internet, it's over. The Republicans can't fall back on that any longer. And we won't allow them to.
And I can't believe you went into a colleague's office while he was writing a column and you hit the delete button.
Yes, I did.
Because he was
writing about Clinton and Lewinsky once again, ad nauseum. And I said to Bill Gunter, I said, can you believe this guy? I went in there and I hit the delete button. We won't allow it, Phil. It's not going to happen.
Well, all right. I mean, you know, one of the things about you, Margaret, is that you're a commentator. You're not a journalist. So I guess you're allowed to, what's the word? You're allowed to have an opinion.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the idea that we won't allow this is funny because I don't even think that you can keep other writers from writing things unless you work in the same office with them. You hit the delete button on a guy.
Here's what I'm saying, Phil, and this is how strongly I feel about it. If I hear one more person bring up Monica Lewinsky, if I hear one more person bring up Chappaquiddick, if I hear one more person bring up any of these things that are really, the jury is still out on, I am going to get physically violent. Now, that is a very, very tough thing for a woman to say. But so help me, Jesus. I will throw down on anyone that brings up Chappaquiddick or this entire...
Well, what is it? You don't like to... you don't want the truth to be spoken? You don't want...
I don't want it beat into the ground. Now, you can say whatever you want. But if you bring up Monica Lewinsky one more time...
Well, I would take that as a threat.
You can take it any way you want. I'm sick and tired of it. And this is a week of celebration for Democrats, not defeat.
Hey, Bill Clinton's not running for president.
You got that straight.
I mean, John Kerry's running for president.
You got that straight.
All right, so what difference does it mean? What difference does it make if I bring up the fact that President Clinton, while a great man, in my opinion, and I did vote for him, did have sex with this woman?
See, right there. Now you are purposely trying to provoke me.
And no, I'm not. I'm saying that it happened.
Ted Kennedy did that girl a favor by making her name live on in history. Bill Clinton might have done Monica Lewinsky a favor by giving her a name. Phil.
All right, so in other words, the theme of this Democratic convention this week is, hey, you won't be allowed to talk about any of the bad stuff anymore because it's all about John Kerry and it's all about John Edwards.
Absolutely. All about John Kerry, all about John Edwards, and all about, really, the rebirth and re-energization, if I may invent a word, which I think I just have, of the American people. And that's why I am here in Boston feeling good for the first time in a long time.
All right, Margaret Gray with us in Boston at the Democratic National Convention. Did you hear what she said? She's going to throw down on somebody if she hears the name Lewinsky or the names Kopechne or any of those names mentioned again. She's going to get physically violent. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The soul of America. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Nationally syndicated newspaper columnist Margaret Gray is with us in Boston at the Fleet Center for the Democratic National Convention. And she has said that she personally, as a Democrat, and you are a commentator, I understand, Ms. Gray, if you hear one more time about Monica Lewinsky or Chappaquiddick or any of these sort of bugaboos that have haunted the Democratic Party down to the years, you're going to physically assault somebody. And I find that interesting insofar as I hardly think you're serious.
Phil, I wouldn't count on that. I am so sick and tired of listening to, Teddy Kennedy at Chappaquiddick and Bill Clinton. I swear to God, I am ready to go off. I am ready to go. You know, they used to say postal. They used to say go postal. Can you hear me, Phil?
Yes.
They used to say go postal. But the last one that I heard about shooting a place up, and I mean really throwing the bodies out the front door, I think was a fast food restaurant. So I say these days, I'm going to go fry bin worker. In other words, those kids that do lot pickup, I am going to go lot pickup if I hear that term one more time.
Well, in a moment, I want to find out what makes you so staunchly, such a staunch Democrat to the exclusion of what I think are some facts.
Well, they're not facts.
All right, fine. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray with us. Here's Marilyn. Marilyn, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. Thank you, Phil.
Yeah.
I just wanted to address my remarks to Margaret. I think that for her to stand up there and tell everybody that they can't talk about Lewinsky and
Clinton is not right. Why are you bringing
and
that
I
up?
And I think you should stop interrupting me while I'm talking.
Why are you bringing up
now? Would you like to rewrite history so that Lincoln wasn't murdered? Would you like to rewrite history so that some of the important facts?
If I use your
line of thought, I would then say that the Democrats cannot mention 911 anymore because that's in the past too, Margaret.
If Lincoln did not want people to talk about what he is doing,
he should have not done it. If he didn't want people to talk about what he was doing in the White House, then he shouldn't have done it there with Miss Lewinsky. And I'll let you know another thing, too. The jury is out on all of that.
Well, it is.
You are wrong.
Wait a second. You disagreed with me. The jury is out.
I'm sorry. You need to be more informed if you're going to be a commentator. Otherwise, you're not effective at all.
You know, Marilyn,
and I would suggest that you kind of take a stand, something you can actually stand on.
Wait, I want to say something, Phil.
Go ahead.
I would have listened to this woman, but the first thing out of her yap was Lewinsky, and all that made me want to do is reach for something heavy. Now,
Learn to control your feelings.
You might do better in life. I'm doing very well, thank you very much.
I don't think so. Anybody who thinks they have enough power to shut the entire U.S. public up
is not a problem. What in blue blazes does Lincoln's assassination have to do with some slut laying at the bottom of a ditch who is...
Oh, come on. Mary Jo Kopechne?
It's all about changing history, Margaret. You can't do that.
First of all, we know Lincoln was assassinated. We aren't sure whether or not Bill Clinton actually consummated the act with Monica Lewinsky. Thank you.
You are fooling yourself.
I suppose you're
also one of those people who says no one should be talking about O.J. Simpson anymore because the jury's still out on that, too.
You know, I'd love to get a handful of your hair. I really would.
You wouldn't be able to reach it, my dear. I'd have to kneel down in order for you to do that.
Well, get on your knees then.
All right, ladies.
I don't know
where this is going to lead us. This threats of physical violence.
I don't know, but I am so tired
of hearing about Lewinsky. Why can't you let the Democrats have a week?
Why don't you tell Mr. Clinton to make statements? Then you can't change history.
You bring
it on. Be tired of it if you wish. But the rest of us are all still going to talk about it.
Right. Thank you very much, Marilyn. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Chris. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, this whole thing about Democrats bashing Republicans, and this is what's going on now. Republicans aren't bashing Democrats. Republicans are trying to take care of what's going on in the country right now. It's the Democrats and it's Kerry's campaign that is going against the Republicans. the whole point of John Kerry's campaign is to bash Bush and bash what Bush is doing right now. And they are the ones bringing up the past. They're the ones bringing up the Twin Towers. They're the ones bringing up the war. They're the ones that keep bringing up the past to try to bash and to try to get ahead in this campaign.
Let me say this, Chris. I will give you kudos that you haven't mentioned Lewinsky. And I appreciate that very much. And that you haven't mentioned, John Kerry's... You're not going to talk about that, are you?
About John Kerry? That's what I just talked about the entire time I've been talking.
No, I mean his service in Vietnam.
His service in Vietnam? Yeah, that was awful. But the Republicans aren't bringing that up right now.
It was awful?
Yeah, him shooting himself to come back home? What kind of service did he do to this country?
Where did you hear that?
That's been all over the news. Where have you been?
That's why I want, even though you're a man, I wouldn't have any qualms whatsoever in just taking a shot.
Hey, see, that's the problem. It's Democrats like you that are giving Democrats a bad name.
That's why
we need Republicans in the White House, because it's people like you that have a lack of morals and a lack of respect for other people that are causing problems in this country.
Look, even if John Kerry did shoot himself to
How are you going to come and say that you're going to take physical violence? Why can't you get your point across enough
exactly.
that you don't need to take cheap shots at other people?
Well, what happened happened, Ms. Gray. How can you deny it?
What happened happened. I'm sick of hearing about it.
Do you think I'm hearing you telling people that you're going to beat them up and that you're going to hit them? That's what I'm sick of. You have holes
you know
in your
what I got
story and you can't back up what you're saying.
You know what I got?
You're angry because you don't want to face the truth.
I got an award that I won from the Associated Press. It's on a lead base. It is a chrome trophy, and I could swing that thing around.
See, that's your problem. You're not. You don't have sufficient evidence to back up, and you're mad because I do have evidence to back up, and so does this country. And that's why you're wanting to resort to physical violence. It's all right,
let me ask
you this. In the school that isn't smart enough is isn't smart as the other kids that wants to take cheap shots and beat them up.
I hope you're hearing what Chris is saying here, Margaret, because...
I want to ask you one question. Have you ever had the heel of someone's hand rammed up your nose?
I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had enough knowledge that you could argue with somebody without having to resort to
violence? And what happened did happen, Ms. Gray, and no one's bringing up Bill... I'm not holding John Kerry responsible for what Bill Clinton did any more than I'm holding him responsible for anything John Kennedy did. I'm not going to call him John F. Kerry.
Why not?
Because I don't like it's a purposeful manipulation of the man's name to make us think that he's Kennedy. Okay?
Well, you're going to start calling him John F. Kerry. It's not something you have a choice in.
Well, I'm not going to call him John F. Kerry.
John F. Kerry is a very handsome man. He deserves respect.
I have seen people with shingles that look more comfortable in their own skin than John Kerry does. He's not a handsome man.
John F. Kerry. Yeah, see, he won't do it. I'm going to say it again, Chris. The heel of my hand rammed up your nose.
All right. Thanks very much, dude.
Chris,
thanks,
I'd like to put my knee in your goodie bag so fast you'd be singing like Christina.
What in the hell, man? She's supposed to be doing a report from Boston and I got this kind of stuff going down? Put my knee so fast in your goodie bag. So anyway, there's Margaret Gray from Boston, Massachusetts at the Democratic National Convention. She will be checking in with us periodically throughout the week as we find out what's going down up there. And right now, former President Clinton is speaking. I tell you, if any of it's interesting, I'll tell you, so far it's all dull as hell. They ain't saying diddly squat. It's all this. And the other thing is, how come you got to clap for everything? Can't you just like clap every 5 minutes? It's everything. I'd like to say this is a great town. Hey, I went over here and I got a Starbucks. Hey, but I was president for 8 years. Hey, Bill Clinton. Is she still on the line? What, ma'am?
You know something, you really ought to watch it. I got no problem throwing you down. I'll have your neck curved so fast, you might say, please, Margaret, no, don't hurt me.
You know what? Violence doesn't solve much. Some things it solves. 1-800-449-8686. I want to get her back on the line. Is she still hanging on? Margaret, I wanted to ask you, in all seriousness, why are you such a staunch supporter of the Democratic Party?
Bill, I've been nothing but serious in this entire...
Okay, but why are you such a staunch supporter?
You know what? I'm glad you asked me that question, and I was thinking, I knew you were going to ask me that. The answer is a simple American tale. I grew up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on the Susquehanna River. My father was a businessman who, because he tried to help people, was constantly hounded by the local Republican political machine. My father was a staunch Democrat. But I saw not just his party affiliation, I saw the things that he did. And in 1960, my father was arrested by the local police at the behest of the Republican Party machine because he was a staunch John Kennedy supporter.
And what was he arrested for?
They had charged him, oddly enough, with what was known then as white slavery. Now, it was...
White slavery?
And you know what? It was completely taken out of context. He was locating homes and jobs in the United States for a church mission group that he was working with. And because he was a Kennedy supporter, he was indicted by the local Republican machine.
Was he making money off of this?
Off of what?
Locating homes for these girls? I mean...
He was working with a... Why do you ask?
Well, if you're charged with white slaving...
He was working with a church mission. And this is what I'm talking about, the slanders of the past. I never forgot that, and I never forgot my father either. And the last time I talked to him, it was funny, I asked one of the guards for some Windex because the glass between us was fogging up. We were both crying. And
when was that?
About 2 years ago. And
the guy's in the joint forever for white slaving. That is one of the coolest sounding crimes I've ever heard of. What are you in for, white slavery? That is bad, 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 bad boy. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Thank you very much, Margaret, for your scintillating report. And we will have more from you, I'm sure, whether we like it or not. As the week progresses, you're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, coming up, you won't want to miss it. Next hour, we've got Teresa Heintz. She is, as you know, the wife of Senator John Kerry. Her name is Teresa Heintz Kerry, but everybody mentions the Heintz part because she is the heiress, I believe is the word, to the Heintz ketchup fortune. Do you know that the name Heintz 57 varieties? You know the name Heintz 57 varieties. You've heard that. People down through the years have often thought that that was 57 different varieties of ketchup, but actually it was just something that old man Heintz ripped off of a shoe company that was advertising in a subway that he was riding in one night. Or whatever they had in those days in New York, like an elevated track. It was a shoe company. It had 57 varieties of shoes. So this old guy steals it. And I'm not complaining. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's, you know, the guy's cool. Back then, they probably didn't have the copyright protection they have now. Anyway, he comes up with that Heintz 57 varieties. Just the little things like the red star on the Heineken label, you know? You don't know why you buy it. It says Heintz 57 varieties of what, man? I've only been able to find one variety of ketchup that those guys make. There ain't no 57 nothing. They got barbecue sauce. Heinz has got barbecue sauce, they got ketchup. I don't even think they make a salad dressing, do they? They got barbecue sauce and ketchup. And then they got catsup. But they ain't got 57 varieties of it. In point of fact, what the hell, what kind of different varieties of ketchup can you make?
Well, I like the red kind.
What do you mean you like the red kind?
Of the ketchup.
That's the only kind they make.
No, you said they've got ketchup and catsup.
They're both red.
Well, then I'm misinformed.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you ought to go back and check your sources, man. Go back into the supermarket, huh, and have the bag boy point it out again to you?
Yeah, probably ought to.
Jesus. Anyway, we got Terry Heintz Carey coming up next hour, an interview with this lady because she told some guy from the Pittsburgh newspaper to cram it right back up where he usually finds it. She told him to shove it. If he answered that question one more time, she was going to throw down. She was going to just ram the heel of her Prada pump right through his eye. I think that'll be great, man. I think the day that we have, for instance, the wives of senators not just saying shove it, but that they're going to ram the heel of their Prada pump right through his eye into his skull, that's when you know we have loosened up as a country. Anyway, we're going to have her on to talk about why she said what she said. Also, we have a mailbag later on tonight. And we've got a new feature that we actually inaugurated last week, and we like it so much, we're going to make it a weekly feature, and it's called Don't Do It, Jay. And basically, Don't Do It, Jay is simply us asking Jay Leno not to say the words, I'm an equal opportunity offender, and we make fun of both sides in the political campaign. Because when he does that, you're right, we reach for a gun. And every week, Jay will be shot dead when he says, we're equal opportunity offenders. And that's the weekly. Basically, what it is every week we'll murder Jay Leno. Every week we shoot him. And I think it's a much-needed addition to the radio landscape. We also have a follow-up with Dean Wheeler coming up tonight. What is the follow-up? Well, last week, Dean Wheeler was on our show talking about how Lance Armstrong should not win the Tour de France because it's only going to make us look worse in the eyes of the world. We're already hated in France. We're already hated around the world. Why would this guy rub it in? And not only that, he's not only winning the Tour de France, an American winning a race that represents the national sport of France, he's a cancer survivor. And those people, according to Dean, are the most insufferable people in the world because all they can do is talk about their freaking cancer and how they survived it. So Dean's going to come on. We'll follow up and find out what's happened to Dean in his life since Lance Armstrong did indeed win the Tour de France. And it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. He was in France at the time when he won. And we've got a couple of flashbacks for you, too. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I had a barbecue at my house this past weekend with members of our staff here and just a few select people from Premier Radio. And I'm not talking about you, Mark, necessarily, but why is it when people get a few margaritas into them, they immediately assume that you're deaf and blind? Because they stand 2 inches from your face and yell, hey, did you ever go to that place? You ever seen that? Not you, Mark. Well, you and Phil, my little buddy Phil Lord came over, the guy that Method Man actually smacked. Dig that. You know that show Method Man, Red Man? I got the whole story from Phil when he came over. Method Man pushed him. He mushed him, man. He put his hand in his face and pushed him, right? So then Phil said, okay, I'm going back to my car, and I got a baseball bat, a Louisville Slugger 32-ounce with nails studding the top of it, and I'm coming back for you unless you apologize. And guess what? He did. It's always the best possible way to go about things. Anyway, Phil's like that close to me, you know. What is that, man? The margarita's that strong? Hey, but a place that I went to is... And he's like an inch from my nose. I can hear you, man. And I can say, are you sure? I'm going to get right into your face because I'm not sure you can hear me or see me. Well, maybe it's because you're drunk. No, I think the alcohol has made my senses more acute. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we will have an exclusive interview with Terry Heinz Carey. She is the wife of John Carey, and she'll be with us live from Boston to speak, among other things, about her comment to a reporter yesterday where she told him to shove it. This guy had pressed her on a particular question, and he was really harassing the hell out of her, and she finally said, look, pal, shove it. So that's coming up. But first, we want to inaugurate a feature on our show, and this is news by kids for kids. I have four children, and while news is delivered for the most part, adults, and there used to be a thing, I think, on television on Saturday mornings where they would have the news for the kids, we want to do a kid news feature as well, but we're going to take it a step further. We have a young man here from, what school do you go to, son?
Mount Vernon.
I can't hear that?
Mount Vernon.
You go to Mount Vernon?
Yeah.
All right, is that a grade school? Is that an elementary school? What is that?
Quit it.
I'm not laughing at you. I just, what is it?
It's a grade school.
It's a grade school. Can you hear him? It's a grade school. All right, you're going to have to get on mic. So we're going to inaugurate now news delivered by kids for kids. The Phil Henry Show now presents news by kids for kids. If you have young people, gather them around the radio. This is a big news week in our country and around the world. Here now is Billy from Mount Vernon Grade School. Billy?
I want to do it.
Hold on for a minute. What?
I want to do it.
You have to do it. You can't...
You ain't gonna go-gurt?
Go get him a go-gurt, will you, bud?
Yeah, I ate them all.
I said you're gonna do it, now get in here and do
it. I don't want it.
Get in here. Never mind. Get him a fruit pop, too. Why would you say you want to come in here?
I want to.
All right, he doesn't feel like doing it. Let me get on the line instead here from Boston. We have Terry Heintz, who is with us. She is the wife of the presidential nominee, John Kerry.
I got a go-gurt and I got a wild fruit pop. Which one do you want?
Will you guys do that outside?
Come on.
Terry Heintz Kerry joins us, and I thank you very much in the middle of a very busy convention week, Mrs. Kerry, for joining us. I wanted to first of all ask you, where are you in the convention right now?
No, I'm not. I'm actually in a shopping mall.
Oh, really? So you're doing some shopping?
Yeah, I'm buying a wig.
You buying a wig?
Right.
All right. So this reporter, who was from the Pittsburgh I forget which paper it was. You told him to shove it. Can you tell me what happened?
Well, what happened was he was getting up into my, he was getting pretty close to my personal space. He was starting to wilt my permanent a little bit, and I said to him, "Look, I've answered your question 5 times. You've been following me on the campaign trail. You've been harassing me. You're harassing my husband." I said, what you can do with your question, your notebook, your pen, your suit of clothes, and your rental car is you can park all of them right straight up there, right up there where it's nice and tight and hot and dark and, you know, just put it right up there.
I thought you said, you told him to shove it.
Well, that's what the press reported, but I told him to stow. You want to know what I told him?
Well, I can't if it's not arable.
No, it is not. No, sir, it is not. No, I got sick and tired of this guy.
Well, was this a reporter that was harassing you along the campaign trail, did you say, Ms. Kerry?
Well, yeah. I mean, in every stop, in every town, this jackass is showing up with,
Mrs. Kerry, this, and can you answer a question? I'd like, you know, you say.
So I would just go along with it, and I'd say, and of course he made some cracks about how much older I am than John, and I didn't take that very kindly either. So I finally just told him to just take his entire career, wad it up into a big softball-sized wad, and just press it up there slowly, very slowly, using, if he'd like, a pool cue, a broom handle, and I'd be happy to provide that.
So in other words, your exchange with him was a lot more vociferous and angry.
Oh, yeah. I mean the press reported, like I said, shove it, like I was some prissy little broad. Well, I'm not that kind of a woman. I'm not prissy. In fact, I was listening to your interview last hour. I like that Margaret Gray. I like her a lot. I like the whole heel up the nose thing. I like the Prada pump heel right into someone's eye. And I definitely do not cotton to the fact they're closing up they're closing the wig store, so I got to make this fast. But I definitely do not like reporters harassing me and following me around.
Well, it is a very conservative paper, Ms. Kerry, and the fact is that, you know, obviously they're, you know, they have an agenda, and he was a commentator, wasn't he?
Well, he's some kind of a journalist. I don't care. I told him, you can take your question, you can take your whole newspaper, in fact, you can take the entire city of Pittsburgh, cube it at a, like one of those garbage dumps where you can cube things.
You mean like a metal compressing machine?
Yeah, metal compress the entire city of Pittsburgh, along with your career and your ass, and slowly, with all determination, push it up there using, like, the heel of someone's boot. Just wedge it right on up there like a piece of Swiss cheese.
Man, you,
That's right. I was pissed. I was PO'd, babe. So I got home, and, you know, John was home, and so I gave him a back rub. And he said, so what's up with that? I said, well, I told the guy, you know. He says, you never mess with my wife. See, my husband's a Vietnam veteran, so I learned a lot of my one-shot kill techniques from him.
Well, one-shot kill technique?
Yeah, that's, you push a city-sized wedge of metal up a guy's thing, and friend, he ain't going to be smiling for very long. That's a good bet.
Are you watching the convention there in the mall?
Yeah, that's right, man. I'm sitting here watching the convention. Are you kidding? They got a wig shop over here. I'm going to go over. I'm going to buy myself. I want to get over here as fast as I can. I want to get myself a Phyllis Diller special, and I want to make it back to the convention floor.
All right, Teresa, Miss Carey, if I may say, what do you think your husband's chances are of election, of being elected?
I don't know.
What's that sound I'm hearing?
They're waxing the floor. I mean, you got me here. It's like 11 o'clock at night. What do you want from me? They're waxing the floor. They're closing up, and I got to get over here and get the wig. I got to get the wig and get back to the convention. Is that it?
That's it, man.
All right. So,
All right, well, I mean, man, I should have called you ma'am.
You called me man?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not done, man, by a long shot.
All right, Miss Carey, I don't want to hold you up any longer. I thank you very much, and I'm sorry that you're angry this evening.
Well, I'm angry for a lot of reasons, but mainly because I just would like to get the hell out of here.
I understand that. Have a very good convention.
Boy, you are really boring, man. See you later, Phil.
All right. Well, you know, obviously there was a... there was a scene there, was it today or yesterday, where she told the reporter, there was a lot more that went on with that reporter than just shove it. Shove it up there like a wedge of Swiss cheese. Compress it like the entire city of Pittsburgh and then just push it up with the heel of someone's boot. This is what I call a woman on a mission. Well, I understand that she's a, you know, she's a tough chick, I guess. I don't know. Those first lady types... Don't mess with them. Don't ever say that they're just a little lady. Don't ever assume that they're just there as window dressing. Don't ever assume that they're just there to host Big Bird from Sesame Street and all of the Girl Scout troops of America. That's all they're going to do, but don't ever say that's what they're going to do. All right, our email address here at the Phil Henry Show, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com, and our number is 1-800-449-8686. The follow-up with Dean Wheeler coming up. We also have Don't Do It, Jay, where we warn Jay Leno yet again, don't say that you're an equal opportunity offender and you make fun of Kerry and Bush equally. Please don't do it again. We've heard you do it so many times, we've purchased a gun. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
She's still there? Miss Carey, Teresa Hines Carey was on the line with me. Are you still there, ma'am?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is there a reason why we still have you on the line?
Well, I told your producer I'm still here, and now the wig store is closed, so I got nothing to do. There was a yogurt place here, but I'm waiting for John to pick me up.
Are you waiting for Senator Carey to pick you up?
Yeah.
They're still waxing the floor. I can hear that, right?
Yeah, they're waxing the floor. There's a bunch of people. I can see them closing those big gates. The yogurt place is closed up. Oh, here he comes.
Is that Senator Carey?
Yeah, hold on for a minute. Where the hell have you been? Oh, you're at the convention? Yeah. How's that feel compared to the convention? You like that? I don't care if you're getting elected president. You think you're going to get elected president without me? Phil,
look, this is a private matter.
No, it's fine. No, don't go anywhere. No, this is good. Everything's good. Don't get nervous. This is what I'm telling you about this. You see what I said about that reporter, right?
If you're talking to Senator Carey, Ms. Hines...
I'm talking to Senator Carey, and you're staying on the line. Where were you? Don't tell me you're at the convention. I know you're at the convention. I said to pick me up and... Get the car. Pull the car around here and pull it around in front of the Houstons. Yeah, he's all right. All right, so I'm sorry, Phil, but I...
Did you just kick the crap out of your husband?
Yeah. You got a problem with that? Let me know. Because the light's green.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, you're good. Pull the car around in front of Houlihan's. I'll meet you out in front of there. Anyway, Phil, that was the situation, so I was waiting for him, and I, Tell you what, John, you got some Munster cheese coming to you, man. Big wedge of it. Yeah. I can only, oh, you ought to see the look on his face.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You push your husband around like this in private?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Does he enjoy it?
I don't give a crap whether he enjoys it or not. I dish it out. And he's got a softball-sized wedge of Gouda. It's on its way up there.
All right. Look at, thank you very much anyway. I'm glad that we could,
Look at, tell that guy with the floor waxer to shut it off.
Anyway, I'll see you later, okay?
Yeah, I doubt it.
All right, so I don't want to intrude on a personal family issue, but apparently she said more to that reporter than shove it, and she's got a much more involved relationship with Senator Kerry than anything that I've ever witnessed before in my life. And it has something to do with a log of Gouda cheese. All right, I'm going to try this one more time. Are you okay now?
Well, okay.
This is news for kids delivered by kids. Here's Billy or Bobby or whatever the hell your name is from the Millard Fillmore School or whatever. Mount Vernon School. Go ahead, Billy.
I don't want it.
Oh, come on.
I don't want it.
Better go get him some another fruit pop?
Get him another fruit pop, yeah.
This ain't working out too good, is it?
No, it's not. Why don't you get me a kid that can read? What's the matter, kid? Don't you want to come in here and do this?
Afraid to.
You're afraid to. What a sissy.
That's damaging to the boy.
You just get him out of here, man. If I'm going to promote some bit. News by kids for kids. Who cares? 1-800-449-8686. Among the many things happening at the convention this week, escort services are making big-time money. Now, here's something I've never been able to figure out. The escort service. Is it legal? Is it not? What are we talking about? Please, someone help me. I mean, just exactly what is it that they're trying to present them here? The escort services around Boston are pulling down, am I right about this? $2,000 an hour this week. Anywhere from 200, three bills to $2,000 an hour this week. Now, an escort service is a company that you contact. Now, let's just say, I know what you're thinking. Oh, yeah, come on, Phil. Why are you naive or something? Well, I'm not trying to be naive, but I do want to get to the kind of get to the heart of the matter here. An escort service is a company that advertises itself as a service whereby they will provide you with a young woman, or I guess they have ones that have guys, too, as an escort for the evening. Now, come on! $2,000 an hour just to have her hang on your arm and go, can I get another white wine? Or more like, can I get another Cap Morgan's a Coke? $2,000 an hour just so you got something that looks great? It's like having a dessert tray run by your table and everything's made out of plastic. What's the point? At $2,000 an hour. So then that begs the question, well, is it really just an escort service? And of course, all people will nod knowingly and wink and they'll nudge you at their elbow and go, well, of course not. Well, how can that be legal? I mean, is prostitution illegal or is it not? Except in Nevada, where they have all those ranches with those really wonderful names like the Cottontail Ranch and the Red Ruby Lounge and you go to these places, you might as well be in the middle of a Taco Bell. No, nothing against Taco Bell. But here it is, the story from Boston, practitioners of the world's oldest profession are seeking reinforcements. Now, in other words, the news service is using the term prostitution and the two terms prostitution and escort service interchangeably. So this has got to be the biggest wink, wink, and nudge, nudge in the history of America. Everybody knows it's legalized prostitution is what it is. So the prostitution can't be that bad. So basically, you're allowed to run a service that provides prostitutes so long as you don't call it that. Just call it anything, man. You could call it Chucky's ice cream truck. You could say that you're a macaroni factory. You could say that you're a house cleaning service. As long as you just don't say, hi, prostitutes are us, and you're driving around in a white van, and some guy is driving it with a wild, freaky wig, and you just open these two big doors, and out come a bunch of blondes in heels. Every convention brings in more people, and women fly in from all over the country to work it, said Robin Few, a prostitute on probation who runs the Sex Workers Outreach Project, an advocacy group. There will be girls from California and from the South in Boston this week, she said. I hope a lot of women make a lot of money and make a lot of men really happy. Well, there will be a lot of women. They will make a lot of money. Whether they make a lot of men happy or not, that's a whole other question. For weeks, escort services have plastered advertisements in magazines and on the Internet asking women to work the convention. Local agencies said they charge anywhere from $2 an hour for a little company in a delegate's hotel room. God, that's wild. Hey, let's just hire a bunch of women. We'll get them at $200 an hour. We'll have them all sitting around, and there's a understanding that they will provide sex. Well, wait a minute. I thought you were an escort service. Well, that's what I am, but hold on just a second here. Are you telling me that you're going to hire them for sex? Well, I'm not really. Say it. Spit it out. Well, you know what I mean. No, I don't know what you freaking mean. What do you mean? Is it an escort service, or is it a prostitution thing? Well, it's for me to know and you to find out. Oh, will you knock it off with all of the cloak and dagger? Just let me know. You're going to call a guy up, right? Harry's Escort Service. Hi, yeah, I'd like to hire an escort for an hour. All right, that'll be $2,000. Great. Of course, I don't need to say exactly, what do you mean? Well, I mean, for $2,000 an hour, I'm going to... I don't have any idea. Don't start giving me that crap. Now, I want you to spell it out right... Well, are you a cop? No, I'm not a cop. Well, I don't know. I can't really tell you. You work that out with the girl. Oh, okay. So in other words, I get her for the 2 G's so she can just sit there and look dopey on my lap. And if we're going to have sex, that's another 2,000. Is that it? That's about right. But I didn't say that. No, of course you didn't say that. It's the same way they get around it when they make porn movies. They're paying the girls for their time, not for sex. They just happen to be having sex on the stage there, right? She said, I didn't know they were doing that. Well, why are you rolling the camera? Well, was it on? I didn't know the camera was on. I thought they were just, I thought she knew the guy. Bill's Escort Service, uh-huh. $2,000 an hour, right? You got it. Okay, what do I get for the $2,000? Well, use your imagination. Don't give me the use your imagination. I want you to tell me, man. I'm not going to say anything. Is this Senator Kerry? Yeah. Oh, well, then you get a discount. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Austin Amarca was on our show last week. Mr. Amarca works in a poultry rendering plant. Now, he's a vegetarian. You have to hear this. He's a vegetarian, but he was recently cited by the company for abusing the chickens that he's working with. In other words, he steps on them, he throws them against the wall. This is something that apparently is happening in the country. As a matter of fact, the company that works with Colonel Sanders, the workers there were cited allegedly for abusing the chickens, strangling them, and I don't even want to imagine what else. I mean, when you say chicken abuse, obviously your mind begins to, it's a kaleidoscope of possibilities. So here's a guy that's abusing the chickens, but he's a vegetarian, but he says what he's doing isn't as bad as a family that munches down on a bucket on a Friday night. Here's Austin Amarca.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I cannot believe he is sitting here trying to justify his treatment of those animals just because he's a vegetarian. That makes no sense.
Wait a minute. I'm not eating those animals.
Doesn't matter if you're eating them or not. I don't eat them either. But you still do not treat any living animal like that. There's no excuse. You cannot justify it.
People that eat chicken are worse than me, is what I'm saying.
And what does that make you? You don't eat them, but you still kill them just the same.
Well, at least I'm not as bad as they are.
You are bad. You're killing them. You are killing them. There is no I'm worse than they are.
Wait a second.
You are killing them.
No, that's easy for you to say, because why don't you walk up to the average person that eats chicken? Why don't you go to a Popeye's or one of these Kentucky Fried Chicken and say to them, look at how you're butchering them up.
I see it every day.
Do you walk in?
I see them eating them every day, but you know what? They're not throwing them off a building.
Oh, wait a second. Now you're saying eating them ain't as bad as throwing them off of a building.
I'm not saying eating them is not. What I'm saying is you are just as bad as they are. You cannot say that you're any better.
I reject that, sir. I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with it because you don't want to accept responsibility for your actions.
Well, that's
you treated those chickens unethically. And as a vegetarian, you should have love for all animals anyway. So there's no way, as a true vegetarian, you should have been throwing those animals off of a roof or doing whatever you were doing to them.
I am a vegetarian.
Do you have a problem with animals, sir?
I told you I've got a problem.
Look, man, I have a degree in animal science. I don't have a problem with animals.
I don't either. But what I'm saying, I do have a problem with chickens. I will tell you that.
Well, okay, so how can you sit here and say that you're a vegetarian, you love animals, but you hate chickens,
because,
so you throw them off a roof?
Well, simply because of this. I resent being indicted as the bad guy here when you let some old lady go in and get her box of McNuggets, go home, dig into them like the vampire that she is, and you don't say nothing to her.
But, dude, you are the bad guy, because guess what? First of all, you're working in the rendering plant. You're working there, so you're contributing to that lady eating those chickens. You're killing them.
I grew up on a farm.
Okay, but that's no excuse. You can still get another job if you wanted to.
Hey,
you don't have to work in a rendering plant just because you worked on a farm.
Well, sir, I'm a middle-aged man, and the job market ain't exactly what we would call, spilling over all kinds of jobs.
Now, there's jobs you just have to find.
Well, let me say this, if I could jump in, gentlemen. If you got the job, you have the job. You're having blackouts. You're kicking chickens off of rooftops. I mean, dude, you need another job, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think I do.
You don't think so?
If you didn't have this job, what would you be kicking off a rooftop then?
No, I'm just saying, why should I quit my job when you give a pass to some little punky kid eating his chicken leg for lunch?
Dude, okay, are you against those people eating chicken?
Yes, sir.
You're contributing to it by working in the rendering
plant.
Exactly.
You're working in a rendering plant, so...
I got to have a job.
Yeah, but it's weird.
It doesn't matter. If you have belief, if you feel strongly that against the unethical treatment of animals, don't take that job.
Here we go.
I feel strongly. You're taking blood money. That's blood money.
You know, this is great. I love people that like to moralize about what another guy ought to do. What do you do for a living, sir?
I'm actually a microbiologist.
Okay, well, are you hurting animals and stuff?
Not at all.
Actually,
we're helping animals.
You might be hurting microbes.
Well, okay, laugh if you want, you guys, but, you know, I'm hanging here by my you-know-whats, and a little kid gets a pass while he digs into a big judge.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
And now it's time for Don't Do It, Jay, a weekly feature where we beg Jay Leno not to make his usual boring comparison to himself and other comics when he says, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I make fun of Kerry and Bush equally. Don't do it, Jay. Don't do it. This week's episode, we find Jay in his dressing room.
Hey, how you guys doing? What do you want?
Hi, Jay. I represent a citizens group, and we live in a time when I'm sure you would agree that people need to take stands.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. When you say that you are an equal opportunity offender, it just means that you don't really have a point of view. You make fun of everybody at their expense so that you look like a good guy to everybody, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I mean.
Yeah, okay. Please don't do it tonight when you go on stage. Please don't do it now. Talking to me, please, in the name of everything holy, don't say I make fun of Bush and Kerry equally.
I understand. See, that's it.
Please don't do it, man. Man, I'm begging you. Now I'm begging you, man. I'm standing here with tears in my eyes.
How are you gonna deal with that?
This is a rifle, man. It's a rifle. You see the scope on it and everything? I can hurt you with it, man. I don't want to do it.
Ah, you don't understand what I do for a living. See, is I make fun of Carrie and Bush equally.
God damn, I need it.
Ow.
This has been Don't Do It, Jay. Yeah, he did it again. He said he makes fun of Bush and Kerry equally, and so he got it. Join us again next week when we encounter Jay out riding his motorcycle, sitting at the rock store, pretending he's hardcore on Don't Do It, Jay. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I think it's important, obviously, to watch the convention. By the way, coming up on our show, we're going to have the follow-up with Dean Wheeler. Mr. Wheeler last week talked about the Tour de France victory of Lance Armstrong, the possible Tour de France victory of Lance Armstrong, as being something bad for this country, that we were already lording it over the rest of the world, and if we win the Tour de France, we're going to be even more hated. Well, Lance Armstrong did indeed win the Tour de France. We're going to find out how that's affected Mr. Wheeler, and we'll be talking to him from his home in, I want to say something glamorous like New York or Chicago. I don't know where he is. Where is he? Oh, he's in Northern California, in Mill Valley. So we'll be talking with him. Also, we'll have a mailbag next hour and an R.C. Collins flashback. But I wanted to mention that it's important to see the conventions, especially the kids. I used to watch them when I was a kid. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about, but it was fascinating to just look at those guys. And the thing that I want to say is the man with... They talk about large issues, unemployment and inflation. I didn't know what any of it meant. But it's important to expose the children to it, and I don't know what channel you're going to be watching. Now, I watch Fox News, not because I'm a right-winger or a left-winger or I play wing for the Detroit Red Wings. It's because there's something, I don't know, a little bit brighter about their presentation. CNN looks very dour and drab. You look at CNN's set, and you look at the people they have on there, and you swear to God, you might just want to slit your own throat after 3 minutes. This is CNN. We'll be back with... I want to off myself with VX gas. But I flipped on Fox, and then I realized, now this is not good either, because... Though I do occasionally engage in the smoking of a cigarette myself, I don't believe that my kids should smoke, and I don't think it's right for Fox to be promoting smoking the way they do. Yes, that's right, they promote cigarette smoking by having Susan Estrich on there, who's got a voice like she's two weeks away from having a hole in her throat.
Because this is a woman's voice, right? That's what she sounds like.
Have another Pall Mall straight! And we're here with Susan Estrich, who is our political comment. How are you, Susan?
I'm doing great. Just great.
Now, are you a man or a woman? I mean, you look like a woman, but you talk like a guy.
Well, that's one of the strengths of the Democratic Party.
Here, you like a nice big fat Cuban cigar while you're sitting there?
Don't mind if I do.
I mean, she's on there, and that's fine, but it's obvious she's been smoking freaking packs of Camel Straights for years. Like 4 or 5 packs a day. What's that sound like when she's talking? Who are you married to, Susan?
My husband's name is Maury, and he's sex on wheels. Every night you can hear me say, Maury.
God! Linda freaking Blair ain't got nothing on you. Go ahead, say it. Marin.
Marin!
So anyway, she's on. Week in and week out, I've been listening to this. She's good, man. Although, look it, I might have been born at night, like I like to say, but it wasn't last night, dude. And I can tell when there's all of these cats with the political opportunity thing. You know, hey, we got an opening now for a conservative. What do you think, Susan? Can you be a conservative?
Sure, I can be a conservative. I've made my credentials as a liberal, but I'll be a conservative.
Great. Okay. Boom. Gig pays about 200 G's a year. You got it. All of a sudden, these cats that are flipping this, you know, me. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a Democrat voting for Bush. So I got no idea what that's about, but I ain't voting for John Kerry. You can kiss that one goodbye, man. You lost my vote, dude. And there won't be no hanging Chad on my ballot. There won't be no pregnant Chad. It'll just be a fully impregnated Chad. I mean, it will be a virgin Chad. What the hell does that mean? It'll be a virgin. Whatever I do to my ballot, believe me, it'll feel good. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. All right. In Utah, Lori Hacking, you know, they still say she's missing. Well, okay. Anyway, the guy that's increasingly under suspicion is this husband of hers, Mark Hacking. Now, here's the latest real oddball piece of information to come out of this cue ball head guy. This cat said that he was sleeping when his wife apparently was supposed to come home and wake him up from her jogging. He said he was asleep, and his wife was supposed to come home and wake him up. Now, that's story number four the guy's given to coppers. When, in point of fact, they got the credit card receipt that says he was buying a new mattress a half hour before they said his wife's missing. Now, you may be asking, and plus, I think they've now found a knife. I'm not saying it's connected to him, but they allegedly have found a knife, they found blood, and they have found a clump of hair. That does not spell anything other than ugly. I mean, there's nothing good about a clump of hair, a knife, and blood. That doesn't exactly say, yeah, I think we're going to find her alive. I really, really? Yeah, no, there's a clump of hair. No, I've got big hope. You just found 6 gallons of blood in his trunk, all hers. Well, you know, it could have been a friend of his. I swear to God. We'll find her. No, man. No, a knife, a clump of hair, and blood. Now, this guy, not soon after, is found running around a Motel 6 in the All Together, and you think you got problems. He's in a freaking booby hatch. They got this guy in a straitjacket now. Now, what are the odds? I'm just going to ask you, what are the odds? Woman's dead, husband is in the Laughing Academy in a soft room. Gee, I wonder who killed her. I mean, I don't want to make any assumptions. I realize the guy is innocent until proven guilty. In fact, I am saying, in point of fact, he is innocent. So why would I even want to suspect him, even though the guy is sitting there going, with a Napoleon hat on, and they can't find his old lady except for a blade, a clump of hair, and about 10 gallons of blood in the trunk of the guy's car. Other than that, why would I even think the guy is suspicious? And the I mean, I'm not laughing. This is a tragedy for that family. It really is. But sometimes you got yourself a cut and dried kind of a case. Of course, I guess I thought, if you'll pardon the expression, OJ was cut and dried. Well, there wasn't anything dried about it. You don't know who's going to go inside anymore, do you? You just don't know. Kobe, I mean, he's going to walk. I told you he was going to walk, and he's going to walk. Now the judge is admitting this evidence that they said they wouldn't admit, and now they're going to bring in her sex. He ain't going to jail for squat. Boy, have we changed as a society, man. It wasn't too long ago, a big-time dude on trial for the alleged rape of a young woman, the young lady would have the sympathy of the people. Man, we are so hooked into celebrity now, it's not even funny. The celebrities are the guys that get all of our sympathy and all of our pity. Anyway, getting back to this Hacking thing, not that there's anybody, and what an unfortunate, is it Hawking? Hacking? Unfortunate name. Here's a woman that married a guy and thought that this cat was in a medical school, believed that he was actually going to postgraduate school, and he's never even graduated from college. He may not even have a high school degree. He was working mopping the floors over there, wasn't he? And she thought he was interning. I want to ask you a question. I know love's blind, but is it also walking around on a freaking pallet board too? Is it legless? How about that Charles Stewart guy? There's another guy. Boston, late 80s. This guy shoots his wife, and this was the first of the very famous "a black guy did it" cases. That lasted about, you know, maybe 10 years until that Susan Smith, she pulled that stunt. Nah, forget it. That didn't work out. But this guy's Charles Stewart was the first guy to say, a black guy shot me. So they kicked down all the doors of all the black folks in Boston. They couldn't find anybody that killed this lady. And they finally put two and two together when the brother turned in his, the brother Charles Stewart turned him in, and he winds up jumping into a river. So he, you know, he cheated the hangman. And then we have, of course, Scott Peterson. Now, all three of these guys are the husbands, this hacking guy, Stewart and Peterson, are the husbands of pregnant women. All of these women died. We also have a statistic that says that 20% of all pregnant women who do die, die as murder victims at the hands of a loved one, a husband or a boyfriend. Put on top of that the fact that this guy, Mark Hacking, is running around a hotel nude in a Napoleon hat and pretending like he's on an imaginary horse, and you're trying to tell me this guy's got nothing to do with it? How'd you like to marry some cat and find out he lost? That's like a movie plot, isn't it? You marry some guy and you find out he is about as crack. There's nothing put together about this guy. He's as dingy as freaking two coats of paint, man. Ladies, if you're pregnant and it's your first child, I wouldn't stay at your house for the entire nine-month term until the baby's born. Stay as far away from the man. I understand that your husband loves you. I don't know how. I almost brought it up to Emily, Mark's wife. They were over at my house for the barbecue this weekend. How the hell could you live with this guy knowing he's going to kill you? That's, you know, it's like a toss-up, isn't it? I'm pregnant. I love him. He's a good guy. Next thing you know, you turn around one day to say, honey, would you go get that thing out of the microwave? And he's standing there with a German-made dagger. And it's like, you know, like Janet Leigh in Psycho, man. Before you know it, it's all over, and there's just a mop and a bucket. Jeez. More comedy coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we're going to be talking with Dean Wheeler in a segment that we call The Follow-Up. Mr. Wheeler, as I mentioned last week, was on our program, and he was saying that it was the victory of Lance Armstrong in the Tour de France, which would further exacerbate bad feelings toward America, or at least that was what his fear would be, and we should just not encourage that kind of thing. Well, Lance Armstrong won, and we're going to find out how Dean's doing now that he knows that Lance Armstrong won. Dean feels that America has been pushing its weight around, and the last thing we should do is win the dang Tour de France, too, on top of everything else. Now, you live in Phoenix, Arizona. What is it, about 186,000 degrees there? Well, guess what they just told them to do? Turn your air conditioning down. We're having a little problem with the heat wave, and we're trying to conserve energy. Yeah, right. You bet. You betcha. Hi, I live in Phoenix. It's 115. I think I'll turn my air down. You know, remember when the whole brownout thing was happening in California? It's like, what is this? This is the year 2004. We don't yet know how to deliver energy. Yes, I understand that Enron and a lot of those energy companies artificially manipulated the shortages, but it ain't like it's the first time that that's happened. And on top of everything else, how many times have you had the bloody breaker go or something happen whereby we cannot get electricity into our homes? You know, there's a junction box blew up down the road. I'm going to have to go down and take a look at it. I got six other calls I got to do today. Charlie, you take care of that. And they're like a two guys, you know, that are in charge of the whole grid. Wait a minute, what are you talking about? You guys are, well, I got to take a lunch break. And it's 150 out here, man. I bought this air conditioning unit special. This is like 6,000 G's worth of air conditioning. I got two air conditioners in my house. Two. Just because that's how important air conditioning is to me. My wife hates it. Maria can't stand it. She hates breathing that. Every woman I've ever known hates air conditioning. There's a whole thing with, I don't know, it has something to do with the holistic, natural way of living that women are so into. God bless them for that. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't know what a vitamin was. I wouldn't know what an herbal supplement was. I wouldn't know what a cup of freaking herbal tea was. In fact, I don't think I'd know what a glass of water was. And Maria, she can't stand the air conditioning. Everybody else in the house, well, when I say everybody else in the house, me and the three boys, we're dying. I mean, I sleep with the windows open. We got a ceiling fan that I got cranked at about 18,000 RPM. Just moving, man. If that thing ever came loose from the ceiling, goodbye, Phil. It would cut me up, man, like one of them slicing dices. Just... And the cat gets on the bed, and it's laying there, you know, trying to get cool. In fact, one night, it sucked the cat right up into the blades. It's just right up in there. You know what I'm saying? So I got to have the air on, and it's always a fight. I want to turn the air conditioning on, huh? No, it's not. Oh, please. I'm laying here sweating like I got malaria. You ever seen the worst jungle movie you've ever seen? Just think of the worst sweat jungle movie you ever saw. When a guy, you know, those cats would be laying in the tent, and they're in full clothing, and they're laying there's just sweat all over their face. That's me in the middle of the night. Oh, God, you know, and you're like delirious. You know, I got to have some air. Oh, God, please. Now, Las Vegas, ain't that hot? Ain't that in the desert? Last I checked, it's in the desert. I ain't hearing them telling them to turn down the heat, turn down the air conditioning. And they got more electricity they're using up there. They got bulbs, lights, cameras, action, baby. I mean, they are working water fountains. They are working the neon. I mean, that Gay Paris, you know, that Paris hotel across the street from... I was staying, courtesy of our company, at the Bellagio Hotel. I mean, it was a big weekend for Maria and I. We actually had a room at the Bellagio in Vegas. And across the street is that... big Eiffel Tower. Man, the lights on that thing are going. You swear to God, man, it was Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Any minute now, here comes the big ship, you know. I don't hear anybody telling them to turn their air off. Now I'm living in 2004. We just had a major, major blackout here not too long ago, which we thought, of course, Al-Qaeda pulled off. And for all I know, they did. Turned out it was, what was it, some junction box in Canada? Some guy asleep at the wheel in Canada? Some guy by the name of Colin having himself an ice cream cone? Oh, God, hey, I forgot to throw the switch. Oh, forget it now, man. I guess the states go black, huh? So, yeah, hi, it's about 120, but would you please conserve energy? And I always love the public service. Your local Phoenix area utility advises you to save energy. Make sure that, no, I'm not going to save energy. You guys get out there and make this thing work. I live in the desert. I'm living out here, you know, the jackrabbits are asleep. The lizards don't want to come out. No one goes out in this heat. Well, why do you live here then? Because the cats said I could live here. They said they had air conditioning. What, are you lying to me now? Don't start telling me that stuff. Why did I move here? Well, you know, it was your decision. Hey, hold on there. Hold on, mon frere. You're the guy that said you had all the modern conveniences. I'm moving out here to the middle of freaking dog patch. You guys are building all these houses and everything, telling me, yes, it's a new modern community in the middle of a desert. A new modern community in the middle of what used to be ground zero for nuclear testing. Now you're telling me, well, you shouldn't have moved here. On my rear end, I shouldn't have moved here. You get some of those guys off of that Taco Bell break and get them out there to those breaker boxes or whatever the hell they're called. And I used to get all these people calling up. Remember that? They were calling and saying, well, there are reasons, Mr. Hendry. First of all, you have to understand there's the Texas grid, the West Coast grid, and the East Coast grid. Yeah, I got it. And you're telling me now, a century and a half into the use of electricity in this country, I still, every time a squirrel decides he wants to put a nut in the wrong place, 18 cities go dark. Every time some cat gets caught in one of those breaker boxes, the whole West Coast goes down. Yeah, we figured out what it was. Yeah, what was it? It was a lizard. A lizard. One lizard? Yeah. Can you imagine, man, if one lizard messed up like the moonshots or something? I mean, they put a guy in front of a firing squad. A lizard? Yeah, it got in there and it cooked him good. Want to see him? No, thank you. One little guy like that. It's like, did I tell you when we got the rattlesnake in our garage? Like the, and I'm not knocking you guys that work at the animal, whatever the hell they call it. Animal control, LA County. Get a load of this though, you guys. I got a rattlesnake in my garage 2 summers ago. And you'll forgive me, but when a rattlesnake is coiled up in the corner of my garage, I ain't taking a hoe or a stick, and I'm not getting it out. I'm just not going to do anything. I don't want to show my kids some kind of behavior that's going to get them killed one day. So he said, you guys stay away from it. I'm going to call animal control. Because they come out with that little thing and they stick it around a guy's neck and, you know, they throw him out into the weeds where a king snake will eat him. And so I call up animal control and
LA County, you know, it's like LA County Animal Control?
Yeah, hi. We have a rattlesnake.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Well, Bob is down in Malibu right now and he's got a wolf or some damn thing. Then he's going to take a cheese sandwich break. And about 4 o'clock.
Well, what do you got? One guy?
Yeah, well, he covers the whole this end of the county.
One guy on a bicycle covering this end of the county, huh? He's out murdering a wolf, then he's going to go over here and kill a raccoon, come out and get my snake, if you'll pardon the expression. I'm not complaining. Don't think that I'm complaining. I love, I love the whole thing. I love it all, man. I love life. It's just that when it's, 5 million degrees outside, I'm on the surface of freaking Mercury, I would like to run my air for as long as I need to. You know, and boy, do you love it when it goes down in the summer and you call up the heating and plumbing guy? Oh, well, now you're like, you might as well be in a third world country. I swear to God, you might as well be in Morocco trying to find charcoal for a barbecue or something. You know, hi, it's 160. Can I have my, well, you need your air conditioning fixed, do ya? Well, let me just take a look at the sky. What's the name, Henry? Yes, sir, Henry, Phil Henry. Okay, maybe you've heard my radio show. Nope, can't say as I have. Well, I got a lot of guys out today, Mr. Henry. Yeah, I can imagine you do. I'm dying in here. Yeah, probably not get out there about a week. A week. So what am I going to do? Well, you could probably roll up a newspaper, fan yourself with it. Nah, I understand, Mr. Henry. I got my guys are booked up, you know. I just that look in the yellow pages, there's 9 million air conditioning companies. They're all booked up. And the other one, of course, when you call them, they go, all of our representatives are booked. You got 4 guys working. What do you mean all of your representatives are busy?
Please stay on the line. Our representatives...
I call... You ever done that? Where you call right like at 8 o'clock when you know they're opening? You call up right at 8. I know they're opening, and I'm going to get them. Today's the day I'm going to get... Oh, Phil, take it. No, I'm getting them. Today's the day I'm going to get them. Call them up. Hello, all of our representatives... You guys have been open 10 seconds. How all of your representatives are busy?
All of our representatives are busy driving into work late.
So anyway, that brings us back to Phoenix, where they have to turn off the air. Now look, obviously we aren't doing as good as I thought we were. So no more moonshots, no more Mercury missions. I'm a big space fan. I just read we want to go to Mercury. Are you ready for that? You know where Mercury is, don't you? It's the closest planet to the sun. Now, I saw a science fiction once where they went to Mercury, and they had some creature there. It was some kind of a heat creature. But the fact is, you get too close to the sun, you're incinerated, man. So I don't know what the hell they're thinking. Now they want to go do another moonshot, and they want to go to Mars and all that good crap. I don't mind going over and kicking Saddam's ass, man, but I'll be a son of a... I'm going to turn my air down so I can fly to the moon? Forget it. It's either me or it's the moon, and the moon loses. I'm a taxpayer! So check that out. When you guys go to Phoenix, just remember, it's a beautiful town to visit, but you sure as hell don't want to sleep there because there ain't no air. They had to turn it off. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show. Coming up, the follow-up with Dean Wheeler. Last week, Dean was very concerned that if Lance Armstrong won his 6th consecutive Tour de France, it would fuel foreign hatred toward Americans. Well, guess what? That's exactly what Lance Armstrong did. We also have coming up a Phil Henry Show mailbag, and our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. And I'll tell you this hour, too, about our website, www.philhenryshow.com, where you can get cool-looking junk. We got cool souvenirs. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We got a little bit of breaking news. The Salt Lake City police and the authorities in charge of the Lori Hacking disappearance, finding that young lady, are searching a landfill. And that can't be too terribly good to hear. So they're looking in a landfill for perhaps the whereabouts of Lori Hacking, who was a jogger. Here's something you need to know. I worked with the Jimmy Rice Center in Miami. I found out all about abducted people. Very few people are abducted by strangers. Yeah, we hear about them in the news a lot. We hear about those stranger abductions because they're scary. They make for big headlines, they make for big scary news copy, but most people are abducted by people who know them, and in the case of kids, most kids are abducted by their own parents. Very few kids, and I'm talking about nationally, maybe 200 to 300 a year, and that's small compared to the number of kids that are abducted, are taken by strangers, just like off the street. And the same goes for just adults. Few, you know, she's a jogger and she's running along in what, some guy in a van? You know, I'm the first guy to say vans are suspicious. You know, dark vans. You see a guy in a van. I saw a guy in a van parked off the road on the way to my house. And I just immediately, I wanted to go and kick his ass. What are you doing? Well, I work for Sears. Well, what are you doing in a van? Well, it's where I keep my... Yeah, that's where you go dismember the bodies, isn't it? Get out of here! Like a late at night, a van parked off the side of a road. What's going on in there, huh? See the light of an acetylene torch? Maybe a hacksaw or something? I don't like that at all. Preferred vehicle of serial killers and terrorists, vans. My kid wants a car. I said, why don't you get a van? All right, 1-800-449-8686. On the line with me is Dean Wheeler. Mr. Wheeler is with the Northern California Think Tank, and we're going to be talking with him about the follow-up to an interview we did with him last week. Where are you right now, Mr. Wheeler?
Phil, I'm in Paris, France right now.
So you are still in France?
That's correct, yeah.
All right, last week, Mr. Wheeler, you were concerned that if Lance Armstrong won his sixth consecutive Tour de France, that it would fuel foreign hatred toward Americans.
And if I can interrupt, Phil, you vehemently disagreed with me, and your listeners vehemently disagreed with me. You said it would not fuel hatred toward foreigners. You said that Lance Armstrong had all the rights in the world, and you did a lot of things that were very destructive. You said a lot of things that were very destructive.
Well, hold on, Mr. Wheeler. That was my opinion.
No, but I want to point out to your listeners how destructive your opinion was, because... Mr. Armstrong did win, in fact, his sixth Tour de France, and it has fueled, certainly in my personal experience, great animosity toward Americans. That's number one. Number two, Mr. Armstrong being a cancer survivor and talking all about the fact that he lost one of his testicles to cancer, and making everyone else feel as if their lives are insignificant by comparison, that's number two. And so, for the most part, it has borne out in my mind that George Bush and his policies in Iraq have caused me into my present situation.
Now, all right, you're still in France, and I thought you would be at home by now, and you're not?
No, sir, I'm not.
All right, Kate, let me ask you what has happened, because the name of the show is The Follow-Up. You know, it's funny, you're in a French bar, but I'm hearing American honky-tonk music.
That's correct, yes. It's a place frequented by Americans who imagine themselves to be cowboys.
Who are expatriates.
That is correct.
All right. Now, you were in are you still in France?
Yes, I'm still in France. And it's also 6:30 in the morning, so if you can imagine that, because...
Oh, yeah, that's right, you are ahead. In terms of time, right?
Yeah.
So you're in a bar playing honky-tonk music at 6:30 a.m. on a Tuesday morning in Paris, France.
All of that, all of the above is correct, yes.
Okay. So obviously you've been traumatized.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Tell me what happened.
I was sexually assaulted in a cheese shop.
You were sexually assaulted in a cheese shop.
That is correct. A man who knew I was American... was wearing a beret and a striped sweater, and the police said it was a log of Gouda, so thank you very much.
Well, wait just a second, man. You can't blame me.
Well, I'm blaming you very much. I'm blaming you. Yes, I am. Of course I'm blaming.
Are you saying to me that happened to you? What do you mean with a log of Gouda?
I happen to know what he was buying.
And he found out you were an American?
Yes, he did. And so now I'm living with him.
Well, is he making you?
He's not making me, but it's certainly not the way I thought my life would turn out. So now I'm living in France as a homosexual. And why? Why? Because George Bush got this guy so angry, he forced himself on me. Not really forced himself, but it was, I guess you could say it was mutual, but it was also something that I wanted to wait on. I wanted to, you know, 3 dates, 4 dates, something like that.
So in other words, you had sex prematurely with this guy, and it's George Bush's fault.
Yes.
Are you gay, by the way?
No, I am not.
All right. So you're living in France as a homosexual now after experience. Okay. I would say this to you.
Well, you have nothing to say to me. I would say this to you. You have nothing to say. You want to do a follow-up? Now you got your follow-up, okay? I've got a wife and 3 kids in America who I don't even care to go back to. I'm living with this guy. I don't even know his name, but he paints, you know, sits on a, you know, near the river and paints.
Yeah. Sits.
Yes, he does.
And what do? Wait tables?
Yes. I'm a cocktail waitress.
I bet you his name's Pierre.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah, I figured it might be Pierre or Henri.
Yeah, both of those.
So you're a cocktail waitress now, huh?
Yes, I am. All of this because Bush let Lance Armstrong have a testicle taken off.
Yeah, that's why he did it, because Bush encouraged Lance Armstrong to have... Get out of here! Anyway, so there's the follow-up, and, yeah...
You interested in any Gouda? Because we're...
No. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up, we'll talk with R.C. We won't be talking with him. We will play a snippet of when R.C. Collins visited us via telephone. He's a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. And he was talking about what happened when he and his fellow cadets attended an Ashley Simpson autograph signing. An altercation occurred because he and his fellow cadets pushed to the front of the line. They feel that that's their right, considering that someday they may die for our country. They say that military cadets are the last line of defense. So, like, if we run out of Army, Navy, and Marines, we're going to start invading, you know, Bradley and all of those joints with the little cannons out in front and the little guys walking around with the big hats. Those military academies. Did you ever go to a military? I never went to one. I never was interested in going to one, but I knew kids that did. Did you ever know a kid that he'd come home on the weekends? Yeah, I go to Schaefer Military Academy, and he'd show you his uniform. And it would be, what do, man? You, like, walk around with broom handles and stuff? Hey, can I ask you a question? Just what exactly is the Citadel, anyway? Now, I know we have West Point. And I know we got Annapolis. And Annapolis is the Naval Academy. And we have the Air Force Academy at Colorado Springs, Colorado. And there's also an officer's training school for the Marine Corps at Quantico, Virginia. And I guess maybe even the Coast Guard. See, in other words, we have official places. So that leaves me with the question. The Citadel, you ever heard of this place, the Citadel? Isn't that where that female tried to get in? And there's another one called Virginia Military Institute, right? Well, what is that? Those are like just military academies for big guys. In other words, what's the difference? General Parsons is here to see everyone. Yes, sir! And the guys have absolutely no rank at all. They're not in any army. In other words, they might as well be working for Bel Air Patrol or something, you know, with rubber bullets and a little yellow light on the top of the car. I should have brought it up at the time, but I just was rereading, because they had one of those People magazine retrospectives about the girl that was trying to get into Citadel, and I read about this poor girl, and she went through a lot of crap. It wasn't too bad. I mean, they just called her fat ass and stuff like that. I'm kidding. I don't know what they did. But they bugged her pretty good. I mean, it was probably hazing that was no different from what boys go through. Or maybe it was where I don't know and I don't care anymore, you know? I don't know why anybody would want to go there in the first place. What was a big thing? Why don't you go to a real school? Go to West Point.
All my life, I wanted to be a part of dear old Citadel.
Mine eyes have seen the glory. What you singing, boy?
All my life, my daddy wanted a boy, and he never had one.
So you're it, huh?
That's right. And I'm going to Citadel.
What's the song that they sing down there? I started singing it. Away down south in Dixie, yeah, that's it. Away, away. So here it is, the Citadel. Now, like I said, we got West Point. That's the United States of America Military Academy. What's Virginia Military Institute? What exactly does, what do they do there? You wear a little monkey suit and you walk around and pretend like you're in a real army? And then when you get out, what do they give you, a commission into the army? Do they have an official affiliation? I don't think they do. I think it's a private school. And when you get out, they give you your hat and you can walk around with your hat. And you can sit down in a diner with your hat on and they'll go, boy, are you in the, what are you in, like the Korean army or something, man? Because I don't recognize that hat at all. What is that, like Canadian? I went to Virginia Military Institute, sir. Yes, sir. I ain't never heard of it. What do you mean you never heard of dear old VMI? Dear old Virginia. What is this, the Confederacy? Man, get out of here. You owe me a buck and a half for the cup of coffee. You look funny in that hat, too, dude. Little large, isn't it? All these cats, that's what I imagine. These dudes that sound like Foghorn Leghorn walking around. Huh? So when you send your kid off to a military academy, I guess some kids, people do that. They think the kid needs it. My son is a real jackball, and he needs some discipline. Oh, I see, and you're not anywhere near the father you ought to be, so you're going to send him to a military academy, right? Well, you see, sir, I don't have the time. So I'll send him over there to the Citadel, and they can kick his ass good. So he goes over to the Citadel. You ever seen those guys? They got on their crisp white pants and the little hats, and they got a, you know, the flag, and I guess they have guns, and they run around, and when you get out, you're done. And what are you going to say? I graduated from the Citadel, so I know how to kick ass? I don't know why I got on that, but I started talking about, what the hell was I going to talk about? What was I going to talk about, Janice?
I believe that Mr. Hershey.
Oh, Mr. Hershey. Thank you. Oh, I know. You know, we were talking. Margaret was on, and she was talking about coming from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Now, Pennsylvania is interesting because in Pennsylvania, they have a town called Hershey. Hershey is the home to a company called, or was, anyway, the home to a company called Susquehanna Broadcasting. I used to work for Susquehanna Broadcasting. It's called Susquehanna Broadcasting because guess what? There's a river there called the Susquehanna. I worked for one of their stations in Florida for like 2 years. But also in Hershey, you guessed it, is the Hershey Chocolate Bar Company. Hence the term Hershey Highway. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. What did I say? Now, Hershey, Pennsylvania, the home of the Hershey. When's the last time you actually ate a Hershey bar? I just, honest to God, because here's the thing. You know, Mars makes the Snickers thing. Chris and I were talking about that M&M store they have in Vegas. Oh, my God. Have you been to the M&M store in Vegas, Mark? Can you believe this place is packed morning, noon, and night with M&M freaks? Everybody's a freaking M&M nut. Honest to God, you go in there, and they got M&M dolls, M&M boxes, M&M toys, M&M jars, M&Ms of all kinds. They have peanut butter-filled M&Ms. They got M&M crunchies now. They got M&M, just the regular M&Ms. They got all gray M&Ms. They got bags of all red M&Ms and red and green for Christmas. And they have, and you can buy coffee mugs. And when we went in there, and every time I've been to Vegas, naturally, I go to the M&M store. How come you know so much about this, Phil? Well, no, I've been in there twice because my wife wanted to get something for the kids. Every time there's a line going out of the street, man. You'd think they were giving away gold doubloons. Now, in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then they got the Mars Company. Those are the guys that own M&Ms, and they own Snickers, and they own Milky Way, right? Hershey, I mean, well, they're sitting on their dead ass doing nothing. Old man Hershey, the guy that started the company, is sitting in an office somewhere in Hershey, right? And out of his window, you can see the thin single interstate that runs by Hershey. And there's a water tower. And there's a cow pasture of some kind. Then there's a Sunoco station. And then maybe there's a stop and go. And old man Hershey sits in his office saying, no one's going to tell me about making GD candy bars. Well, Mr. Hershey, the market share... Don't tell me about the market share of Snickers. I know how to make a GD candy bar. I've been making the GD things for over 123,000 years. Now you go on back to New York to your advertising agency and don't tell me about how to make a candy bar. The public wants that. Well, sir, the Snickers company has the peanuts. They also have the, and what about Butterfinger? Butterfingers for fags! I'll never make anything like a Butterfinger. Never! You think I'm going to put some kind of goofy toffee concoction inside of what? You don't know anything about the candy bar business, son. You best go on. Mr. Hershey, I think it would be a good idea, sir, if you move your company to New York, where you'd be closer to the advertisers, closer to the research, my bare rear end. I can make a damn good Hershey bar, a good-tasting chocolate bar, right here in the middle of a cow field. Where do you think we get half the chocolate? Well, sir, you're just not selling. Oh, baloney, we're not selling it. Look at this. I mean, what is up with the semi-sweet? Nobody wants to eat the semi-sweet. No one wants to eat the semi-sweet. One of the biggest sellers we had. Well, 1958, we outdid everybody. Baby Ruth, and talk about looking like a turd. And the guy that thought up Payday ought to be shot. Well, sir, I would agree with you on Payday and Baby Ruth, but I still think that you need to get sexier with it. What do you mean? Oh, that's some of that advertising talk, isn't it? I've heard all of that. You can take yourself, take your briefcase, take your little polished Bruno Maglis, take your nice mirrored shades, get your ass back on the private jet, and get back up to New York, and you tell those $6,000 an hour queers up there that I want an ad campaign for Hershey chocolate bars with nuts. And I'll tell you right now, I'll kick the hell out of Butterfinger, Mars Bars, and those Mounds Bars. What is up with these guys? They're making this Baby Ruth and Mounds Bar. Gee, what cat's rear end did they fall out of? I'll tell you something right now, son. I've been running the Hershey Company now for 30 years, and I've never made a chocolate bar that looked like it dropped out of someone's rear end, and I'm not going to start now. Well, sir, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that would really just enjoy it. What about the Hershey Kisses? How are we doing with those? Well, those are big sellers, sir, mostly around the Christmas time. Oh, hell, around Christmas time. Hell of a nice gift to give a girl anytime. I want a big push on the kisses. Can't we come up with something sexier than a foil wrap? The foil wrap's beautiful. I don't want anything changed. Although I want the shape changed. The little Hershey Kiss looks like it's a droplet.
What are you saying, sir?
What am I saying? I gotta spell it out for you, man. Looks like hardened diarrhea. And I will not market that under the Hershey name. Hershey has stood for quality for nigh on to 600 years. And I ain't changing a GD thing. I don't care about a Butterfinger. I don't care about Mounds. I don't care about Almond Joy. And who is Peter Paul anyway? And you tell those people over at Milk Duds, I'm gunning for them.
Well, you talk about looking like something dropped out.
I know what I just never mind. By the way, care for a Milk Dud? They're damn good. Now get out of here.
Sir, you're so lonely out here in the middle of Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Ah, it's a good town. Good chocolate town. Lots of cows. Lots of milk. And all that other brown stuff. Good day to you, sir.
And so Mr. Hershey sits there, and he won't change a thing. I'm the only guy that buys Hershey bars now. Just me. Just Phil Hendry. I'm the only guy. I buy the big thing, you know, the big one you bust up into 16 little squares. I love the hell out of that, man. That's my favorite chocolate bar, dude. And I like that Nestle's Crunch one. My kids came home with a Nestle's Crunch that was the size of a football field. Have you seen these? They've got big ones. I mean, this supersize has gone way out of control. The guy that invented supersizing, man, someone ought to super fit him for a straitjacket. They got,
hey, let's supersize it.
Oh, okay. I tell you what, let's make a car that's about 400 yards long.
Oh, goody, okay. Great.
And while we're at it, we can supersize the gas tank. 6,000 gallons. Now they got a chocolate bar. This thing, I'm not kidding you, it was about 2 feet long by a foot and a half. And to bust it up, you needed a chisel. I mean, so my wife says, oh, it's something the kids got. Oh, that's great. And I'm trying to bust off one of these squares. It's like I'm trying to bust off a tile off the kitchen floor. Why? Why? Because we're not eating enough crap. So we got to supersize the crap. How about supersizing a carrot? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, if you go to our website, you'll see a picture there of a Phil Henry Show listener in Australia named Joy, and she sent us a picture of herself holding a Phil Henry picture in front of the Sydney Opera House, and she's wearing like a sweater, and it's cloudy, and I suddenly realized, wait a second, it's winter there in Australia. So anyway, I owe a debt of gratitude to Australians everywhere because it was an Australian in Aspen that turned me on to Tesoro Paradiso, $110 a bottle. Damn good stuff, though. Time now for a R.C. Collins flashback. R.C. is with Bradley Military Academy, and as a, quote, military man, he feels they should get preferential treatment. Like, that's why he and his buddies pushed in front of the line to get Ashley Simpson's autograph. She's their, like, mascot hot chick. And in the scuffle that ensued, people got thrown around, and R.C. thinks that the military guys should be given that kind of respect.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Listen, okay, this kid out in California, I don't know what your name is, but you are representing nothing that the Army represents. Every one of your values is wrong. I'm on active duty. On active duty for 8 years.
I want to be in the Army Ranger.
First, I am an Army Ranger, and if you want to address me, you want to play the cadet game, then call me sir.
I'm sorry,
because
sir.
Absolutely, I am a captain. And you know what?
Yes, sir.
You come into the military with that attitude, and you will be run right out. I don't even think you'd make it to West Point. If I saw you knocking people over in line to get an autograph from a teen idol, I'd rip you out of uniform and bounce you off one of the walls myself.
But, sir,
you need to grow up and learn what the military is about. There's values.
But
learn
don't you think that's something we can learn? Sir, don't you think that's something we could learn from the Marines?
What's that?
Don't you think that's something we could learn from the Marines, just going out into public and not letting these civilians push us around?
No, you're absolutely... First of all, you are a civilian. Have you not realized that? You have not signed your name on the dotted line. You're a cadet in a high school.
With all due
respect,
sir. When
you put your name on that contract, I promise you, your attitude will change. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Your dad needs to spank you is what the problem is. You're 16 years old, and you have no idea what's going on in this world.
Sir,
trying to get an autograph from a teen idol.
No, sir, we're not trying to get her autograph. We want to get our picture taken with her because she's the official.
What difference does it make?
Sir,
have you lost your mind? Do you not realize you're here to serve these people? You're not above them. You serve them. They pay your bill or they pay your salary.
Sir,
they don't pay you anything. You've never even been in the military. What are you talking about?
We represent the very best this country has to offer. I think the civilians should step aside sometimes and recognize that. That's all, sir.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Here's RC. Getting Ashley Simpson's picture, baby. All right, we have time for just a little bit of the mailbag. I don't know how much. Hey, Phil, this is from Mike in Covina. Concerning Army recruiters, you're right. A relative of mine was an Army recruiter for nearly 5 years, and I can tell you that they are salesmen. They're not military career advisors. They're like car salesmen. They will lie to you to get you to sign your name, and you know why? They get paid a certain amount for every person they recruit. They won't tell you or even mention the fact that you may get sent to war or overseas to help wipe kids' snot. Army recruiters will even bash other military branches and tell you lies about how they run things. Wow. I've almost joined the Army because I do want to serve my country and fight terrorist scum, but Army recruiters are phony. Therefore, I'm in the Boy Scouts. I'm kidding. You didn't say that. He says, I do want to serve my country and fight terrorism. It's all about sales, and just as car or cell phone salesmen, they'll blow smoke up your wahoo to get you to sign your name, and there are no refunds until your contract is up. Just like Hawkeye said in MASH, when you wear the green tuxedo, they'll tell you where to dance. Rock on, Mike and Covina. One more. I work at Office Depot, and this lady came in looking like what I pictured Bobby Dooley to look like. She was telling her friend about how these kids think they're hot stuff with their loud car stereos, so I have to put them in their place. I just pull up to a stoplight in my 2004 Lincoln Navigator with my $5,000 stereo system playing, and their mouths just drop. I've talked to her before, and she lives in a gated community. I swear that everything I have said above is completely 100% true. Take care, Phil, and keep up the great show. Bill Williams, Gresham, Oregon. By God, that might have been Bobby. Thanks a lot, Bill. Okay, that's it for the mailbag. Two letters. Well, I got a bunch here. I don't have any. Oh, wait, here's the funniest line. I can't read it. I'll read it tomorrow night. Phil Henry Show.